This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Alamo Area Council of Government is caught up in a scandal. Just yesterday, ACOG's Executive Director Dean Danos was fired, and the Assistant Executive Director Mike Quinn had his resignation accepted. They were connected to the Try Him Foundation and its founder, Jacqueline Cooper. ACOG rented space to Cooper but never collected the rent, and she owes the agency over $100,000. But this scandal isn't just limited to that. To explain what's going on, we're joined by County Commissioner Kevin Wolf, who is the ACOG chairman, and KENS TV executive investigative reporter Joe Conger, who first broke the story about Try Him Foundation and its dealings with ACOG, and his reporting first exposed Cooper. Welcome to The Source, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, Commissioner Wolf, what happened yesterday? Y'all dismissed those two executives. What happens next?
Yes. Yesterday was sort of the culmination of the past 3 weeks to a month of investigating and other things that you've seen Joe and others carry. What comes next is the rebuilding part and figuring out how do we fix and improve some of the holes in our processes and procedures that this has clearly pointed out. I'll be convening the executive committee next week where we will be advising the board that we go out for a national search, those types of things. But at the same time, we're already reviewing internal practices to determine, you know, how this happened and how to keep something like it from happening in the future.
Now, for many weeks now, the offices of Dean Danos and the executive, his assistant, Mike Quinn, were locked up. Their computers were taken away by Texas Rangers, I believe, or FBI.
Yeah, kind of a combination there. We locked down their offices, and we gave access to the Texas Rangers for any of their material that they had on their computers.
So how has that impacted the ongoing day-to-day operations of ACOG?
Not nearly as much as you would think. You know, we were able to move very quickly once we decided to place them on leave 2 or 3 weeks ago, put in an interim director, and now what is three interim directors, and as I've said, sort of keep the wheels on and keep the ship afloat. While we've gone through this investigation, and we're continuing to go through an investigation, including a third-party investigator to look at, again, our processes and procedures. And, yes, there still are ongoing criminal investigations.
So Joe Conger, investigative reporter at KENS TV, and I guess disclosure, you and I are former colleagues.
Sure.
We used to work over at KENS with you. So how did you stumble across this story?
We stumbled across it first when they actually sent us a press release.
Who's they?
They, the folks on the east side. They were really happy about the renovation work that was going to be done on an east side center. They sent us a press release, and in it they talked about how they were going to gain $70 million through a grant foundation, and it just kind of set up some warning bells. That's a lot of money, $70 million. And so we decided to go not just for the press conference, to try to figure out where does that money come from? Because there's a lot of worthy agencies here in town that could use that kind of dough. And that's when we went over there. We were there for this groundbreaking ceremony, and everybody seemed very excited and happy about it. But when we started asking the person who was giving those grants, which was Jacqueline Cooper, about some of the sources of that funding, she got very vague. God will provide, she said, and that she had a lot of investors overseas, global investors who were looking in this area. And that kind of set off some warning bells as to who is this woman and what exactly is she talking about. And then we started looking at some of the other agencies over the years that have supposedly been given these types of grants. And we just did, you know, a typical Google search, and you could find some of these other places in other parts of the state, not just here, hospital districts in other parts of the state, other people who are looking for that kind of grant money. And we started making those calls and finding out that no one had collected any money whatsoever from this organization, Try Him. And that's when we started looking into Try Him itself to see what kind of organization it was.
And what about looking at Jacqueline Cooper and her past?
Her past was a kind of a clouded one as well. She called herself Dr. Cooper, and everybody was on board with that. And we started looking into it. There was no signs of a Dr. Cooper. There's some Dr. Coopers, Dr. Jacqueline Coopers here in the state of Texas. And I think she kind of uses that, too, because there's an African-American woman by that very name and title who's up in San Marcos. And so if you do a search, you might find it. You might just go ahead and say, yeah, I see that person exists. But it wasn't the right one. And I think
she wasn't claiming to be a medical doctor, was she?
She wasn't claiming to be a medical doctor at all.
Just but a
she
PhD.
She was actually claiming to be a PhD, and she was basing it on some of her past work with insurance and whatnot and hospital administration.
But she's had at least one run-in with the law before.
She had in Bexar County, she had a run-in for check fraud. That thing got closed, but there was some substantial, when you start looking into it, a lot of folks were filing against her because they owed her. She owed them money for not paying them as employees.
And so she turns up with ACOG. How does she get connected to ACOG, Commissioner Wolf?
We're still trying to figure out what her first connection was, but I can tell you that she was appointed to a board that ACOG has, something called the PNAC Committee, all the way back in 2009. It's advisory board in nature, and I can only guess that this was, you know, one way in the door for her to start building the particular relationships. As near as we can tell, her strongest relationship was with our deputy director, who brought her to the executive director. And, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You know, come to find out, she was offering $168 million in seven different grants that obviously never came about.
So was it just her? Was it just one individual, or did she have a board? Or?
She had a crew. She had a crew of about a dozen people at various times, and they would all quit because of lack of payment. And they would file and try to get some of that money recouped, and then somebody else would come on board. And she started her second wave of employees using the ACOG banner and using that as a way of saying, hey, look, I'm on this PNAC committee over there at ACOG, and I have some connections, and we have this office space being renovated. And these people came in, and these people said, looks, they'd go in, and they would shake hands with Mr. Quinn and Mr. Danos, who had welcomed them in, and they said, this all looks legit, because what isn't legit? ACOG's legit. And that's how she got her second batch of employees in, and then they started not getting paid. And then they started coming to us because they'd seen some of the stories we had done in our investigative unit there at Ken's TV.
So being with ACOG, and she had an ACOG business card, is that right?
She had ACOG business cards. I believe she was passing out the ones that were Quinn's and Danos and those sorts and saying, this is the group I'm associated with.
But she didn't get one for being on that committee.
I haven't seen one.
Okay, but just having that association with ACOG, having that address with ACOG, gave her that immediate veneer of credibility.
Absolutely, and you know, to Joe's
at the
point,
cost of ACOG,
at the cost of ACOG, and you know, to Joe's point, when she would bring on employees that she wouldn't pay, it was really his coverage and those situations that brought everything to light at ACOG, because when the Rangers showed up, they were there asking questions about former Tri-Hem employees who were complaining about not getting paid. And so that's when everything started to unravel.
She had FedEx packages delivered to ACOG as her address. She had folks who flew in from other states to meet with her about grant opportunities, and they would show up at ACOG and they would shake the hands with ACOG executives, and they would go back to their home state feeling like they've got a deal coming.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about this scandal at the Alamo Area Council of Governments. Is it over now that Dean Danos was fired yesterday? What do you think about this scandal? Give us a call. Do you think this should have been headed off earlier? Do you think we should just clean it up and move on? Or is there more digging to do? Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about a scandal that has rocked the Alamo Area Council of Governments. Joining me in the studio to talk about that is Joe Conger. He's the investigative reporter at Ken's TV. He broke this story wide open, the first person on the trail about the Tri-Hem Foundation and its suspicious founder and executive director, Jacqueline Cooper. Also in the studio with me is the Commissioner Kevin Wolf, who is the ACOG chairman. So as we're talking about ACOG, a lot of people may not even know what ACOG does, so can you kind of explain that, Commissioner?
Sure,
Wolf?
You bet. It really covers a 13-county region, provides a number of different services, and one that you might not think of. Take Bexar County by itself. It has 26 separate municipalities besides the city of San Antonio. Each one of those has their own police force. Well, guess where the academy is for those smaller police forces? It's at ACOG. That includes some of the rural sheriff's departments as well. So one of the main services that an ACOG provides is law enforcement activities. In fact, our own Bexar County Sheriff just finished getting her TCLOS certification through ACOG. So it does provide a very wide range of services, going from medical to aging to disabilities to law enforcement. And so it's, you know, our biggest fear here is that this incident really damages the reputation of ACOG, and it does and will. And it's up to us now to, you know, repair that damage that's taken place. And it's one of the reasons why once we became very aware of it on the board, we moved as quickly as we did.
Yeah, we also hear about ACOG being involved with the air situation, to clean up
air
the
quality, air quality, et cetera.
Air quality, because it doesn't do any good to have Wilson County with their
and
Bexar County with their. We got to have some coordination. But talking about some of the damage that's been done to ACOG through the scandal, we saw that a local workforce PAC was terminated due to people were just, so tell me about that.
Yes, WorkSource Alamo, which is the entity that is funded by TWC for WorkSource activities both here in Bexar County and San Antonio and in the rural counties, is the body responsible for delivering those grants out. One of the entities is something called AADC, Alamo Area Council of Development, which really leased employees from ACOG in order to provide those services. WSA decided that, you know what, we're not sure what's going on there. Perhaps it's time we sever that relationship. Now, to be fair, this was talked about well before this particular incident.
But it didn't help.
But it certainly didn't help.
All right. Our phone lines are open. We invite your phone calls. Number is 614-8980. How do you think ACOG can move forward, get beyond this scandal, or do you think more digging needs to be done to find out what went wrong and how we can keep this from happening again in the future? So, Joe Conger, you've talked to former employees over at the Tri-Him Foundation. They say that this has turned their lives upside down.
Sure has. We had a lot of people who actually came here for jobs with Tri-Him, thinking what they would be getting involved with was a legitimate grant organization. Some came as human resources director. I talked with a couple of the former ones. They were upset because they would start trying to implement a company policy, and she would keep redirecting them to do some more busy work and not fulfill their job requirements. And then they had some of the employees who were hired. Apparently she hired a bodyguard. She also was talking about getting an armored car to transport her around because she feared for her life sometimes. So they heard a little bit of quirkiness every once in a while coming out of her. ACOG provided rooms for them. They would look down the hall and see that they had this third floor that was being retrofitted for them. And they said that Michael Quinn and them would actually provide picnic tables for them in some of the other meeting areas in ACOG so they could have their board meetings. And they would go over all of these huge projects. And they had Michael Quinn and those folks come down and actually give PowerPoints on those presentations and whatnot as to what they were giving their money to. But whenever it came to the question of where's the money coming from, she would again turn to her quotes from Scripture, or she would actually turn to a telephone call that she would supposedly take from somebody in another part of the country or part of the global community who would be saying, yes, yes, the money is coming. And that was what she would tell everybody. The money is coming. It's not here yet. And that's kind of what ACOG got caught up in with, too.
We've gotten a couple of phone calls from people, listeners, who don't want to go on the air, but they say that either them or their loved one of theirs was taken in by this and that they worked for her and that they came out on the losing end. Now, there was a letter recently that went to ACOG from some Miss Lee saying that they were going to make everything good and the money is coming. I saw the letter. It looks like it was written by a college freshman.
At best.
Maybe an eighth grader.
Eighth grader. And in fact, that there's now two letters from this individual. Another one came in just yesterday. And it's, you know, very apparent, at least to those who read it, that this is a continuation of the scam. Well, if you'll just send us this information, we'll go ahead and send you these grants. Which is really, you know, come to find out what a lot of employees heard from Dean and Mike for months and months, that checks in the mail. I can tell you myself, the day before we placed them on administrative leave, that, you know, Dean said, we just talked to them today, the money will be here March 5th. And, you know, apparently that song and dance has been going on for quite some time.
Now, what did she get out of this? Was Jacqueline Cooper actually profiting from her relationship with ACOG, Joe?
I did find some evidence of that. She would actually use ACOG and use the situation in order to tell some of these potential folks who are looking for grants and saying, hey, look, ACOG's on board. I need to throw together a presentation for them tomorrow. Look, I need $10,000 up front. And these folks would say, well, okay, it's for my project, and it's a worthy cause, so let's send some money here. And even in the AADC account, I think we saw some money coming from some legitimate places out of Houston who were falling for the deal and actually sent their money through the ACOG account, which I think, again, lends a little bit of a veracity to whatever Jacqueline Cooper was selling, because that's where the money was going. And then she would recoup the profit from it. Was she getting rich off of it? No, because if you talk to any of her employees, and we have, and you talk to any of the folks who've been around her, they would take her to lunch because she never had any money on her, and nobody really knows what happened to the cash that was coming in.
Yeah, but she was, according to you, getting money from foundations or organizations, 501c.
Or private individuals who were looking to put together some sort of nonprofit thing. There was one in West Virginia. They had some acreage they wanted to redevelop. They had that money. That was their collateral. She says, it's a great deal. We can help you at ACOG. Believe it or not, ACOG can help you and Trihim can help you over in West Virginia, but I need 10 grand to start a presentation.
So she was hurting these nonprofits or private organizations that were trying to do some good.
Yeah, and when we went out and tried to talk to these folks, a lot of them don't want to go on camera and say anything because they still hope the money's coming. Money is a big, huge factor in this because there is so much need out there for some of these local, tiny little places that are doing work with mental health and mental retardation kind of things. These groups are looking for cash, and they don't want to scare off any potential donors, so they don't want to have their name associated with it, or they still hope she can bring that money in.
Okay, let's get a caller on the air. Our number is 614-8980, and Debbie has called in. Debbie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. You know, this is 2014. My God, business people with college degrees, common sense, and really we fall for one stupid broad saying, oh, yeah, the money's coming. Everybody believes this? Give me a break. She should have been fired a long time ago. You don't run a business on, oh, yeah, the money's coming. You know, I have a job. My employer doesn't tell me, oh, your money's coming. No, I get paid every week. She should have been fired a long time ago.
All right, Debbie, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. I understand how you feel. You sound pretty worked up there. And people are wondering, you know, Joe did these stories. The first one was in November 2012, and you kept after it and doing more and more stories. And here we are, you know, over a year later, and now it seems like the Board of Governors at ACOG has finally woken up to the fact that there was this person running around, associating with ACOG, saying and making promises and not following through. It was on TV a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I've told a number of employees at ACOG today, the silver lining here is that it's pointed out some holes in our own processes and procedures. When we had heard, myself and some other board members had heard that there was a Texas Ranger investigating, and I went and sat down with Dean, and I said, what do you know about this? And he said, oh, yeah, it's true. I said, well, what did they want? And they said, well, they're talking about, you know, a former Trihim employee and how they didn't get paid. I said, well, what does that have to do with us? And he said, oh, well, we leased them space. And one thing led to another, and we find out all these things. Go back through all of the board minutes, et cetera. A number of these things, whether it was the lease, whether it was the improvements, whether it was grant applicants, all of those are mandated through policy and procedures that they go through the board for approval. None of those things did. And so it's just those are just three small examples of the reasons that we ended up firing Dean yesterday.
So, Joe, I know that when you first got on the story and you did an interview with Dean Danos, you asked him about that lease, and what did he tell you?
He told me there was no lease. He told me that they did not plan on having one until they could understand where the money and how the money was getting there. And so I was quite surprised when he told everybody that he, in fact, had had a lease and had one for since July of that year. And here I am asking him after November. So it was pretty upsetting. It's like there was some sort of false front the entire way, which is what's made me think you got to get out of that.
Okay, another caller, Jesse, has called in. Jesse, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah, how you doing?
Doing good. Go ahead.
This is really disturbing, I'm sure, to a lot of people, you know, around the country, let alone here in San Antonio. But, you know, I guess my question is, because, you know, I'm a big volunteer when it comes to kids and, you know, and raising funds, et cetera. You know, I got kids in school, a lot of good parents in this state, you know. But do we have any type of litigation and process that's going to put this lady in jail for a long time?
Okay. Jesse, thanks for the call. We got to get to it because we're short on time. So criminal investigation, where are we in the process?
I don't know all the details of that, and they're not going to share that with me, but I can tell you it's continuing on. We as an entity are in the process of filing suit against Jackie Cooper and try him in regards to the lease and trying to recoup our payments there. And in addition, we've already put in new processes and procedures that will make sure that information gets to the board members much more quickly than it has in the past.
I mean, there are 30 board members?
30-some-odd board members. Remember, it's 13-county region.
But I can tell you that the processes look like they are in place there at ACOG, but what happened was they were not followed, and there's no checks and balances on why they're not being followed.
So it seemed like you were really trusting Dean Danos to do his job and to be up front, and there was a lot of trust going on there.
Sure.
And maybe not placed well.
No, exactly right. And that's why I say it's pointed out a number of holes in our processes, including ones that would allow individual employees to go around and at least, make a complaint. We talked about adding a 1-800 number that they can call anonymously to say, hey, we're seeing this kind of activity here. None of those things were in place. They will be in place going forward.
But right now, Jacqueline Cooper, the founder of Try Him, still out there in the world?
Still out there. She hides from us when we try to attack her with the cameras.
I've seen you get her try to ask her questions. She drives off in her nice car.
Or run over you.
Or attempts to hit me. But the point is that when I first originally did the story and I asked San Antonio Police for an investigation or what was being done as an investigation, they said you can't investigate people for not fulfilling a promise. And now I think it's getting to the point where they're getting some evidence, some harder evidence, that maybe there are cases of fraud here, elder fraud, some folks being taken advantage of, that they can actually put together a decent, legitimate criminal case against her.
And Commissioner Wolf, real quickly, what's the takeaway you want people to know about the future of ACOG?
You know, hey, we are going to do everything we can and need to do in order to continue to provide good services. There are good people there. They're providing good services. We're going to fix this.
Commissioner Wolf, thanks for joining us. Joe Conger, KENS TV executive reporter, the guy who broke the story about ACOG and Try Him Foundation. We'll be right back after the NPR news break.